This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier for all your unwanted smells, from pets, cooking, damp basements, smoke, whatever. You need the Thunderstorm. Buy the three-pack now and use a couple for yourself and then maybe give one as a Christmas gift. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use code word Howie3. Shipping is free.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, The Spectator, and The Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Happy Tuesday to all of you. We have a great show plan, a nice little mix of some serious breaking news headlines and also a little bit of ridiculousness to get you through the day. And I'm thrilled to be here. I welcome you to call in, as always. The number, if at any point you want to throw in your two cents, is 844-500-4242. We have a lot to get to today. A lot of the news networks are obviously covering the Queen. Her coffin will be flown to London soon. But here, back in the States, a very big news story is inflation. This pesky little thing called inflation that Joe Biden just can't shake. Now, it's weird because last month we were told that inflation was at 0%. So me being the naive balloon head that I am, I thought, wiping my hands of this, it is done. He has fixed it. The Inflation Reduction Act was so good, was so smart, was so brilliant that it actually pulverized inflation before it even passed. Before Joe Biden even put his John Hancock on it, it was already fixed. Amazing stuff. Well, it turns out that it's not that simple. It turns out that these things are a little bit complicated. So here's the headline that you're going to be seeing. Inflation hits 8.3% in August, worse than expected, despite falling gas prices. It's worse than expected. It's hotter than expected. Who could have expected this? The people who don't expect anything are once again caught off guard by this unexpected news. And if you look at it, it's interesting because although gas prices did drop, and you're going to hear plenty about that, okay? I can tell you that right now, but fear not, Joe Biden will be bragging about that ad nauseum for days on end. So if you haven't heard about that, it's going to get plenty of coverage. If you're one of those people who likes to call up and say, you didn't mention that the price of gas is going down. Here I am mentioning it. Joe Biden will mention it. And we all thank him so much. We all offer him a big round of applause. In fact, like they do in Venice at this film festival, I would like to offer Joe a standing O. You ever notice that, Jared? I'm seeing like these headlines about the Venice Film Festival. And there's all this drama with the Harry Styles movie, and I'm not going to get into it. I'm not going to bore the listeners with that because I know you guys don't care about it. And every time I see a headline, it says standing ovation, standing ovation. And it got me thinking, the standing ovation, I know I've said this before on the show, but the standing ovation has really lost its oomph. It's lost its sparkle. We're just giving them out willy-nilly. If everyone gets a standing ovation, then no one gets a standing ovation. If every movie is worth standing up for, then none of the movies are worth standing up for. And you know what I will mention here is that for people who had their films at the Venice Film Festival and you didn't get a standing ovation, I cannot imagine how terrible that movie is. Because the Marilyn Monroe movie got a 14-minute standing ovation. And this actually ties into another story we're going to...
Clap for that, you stupid bastard.
Yeah, maybe Joe was there intimidating all the film critics. But this ties into another story we'll get to in the next segment about sitting down. And it makes me think of, and I'm not the only one, it was in the New York Post, the old Seinfeld episode where he's trying to help the security guard get a chair to sit in. Well, that's actually something that a lot of lawmakers in New York are working on right now, is letting people sit down. We will get back to that. So don't worry. Just put a little bookmark there. We're going to go back to it. But back to inflation here. So it's 8.3% in August, and Joe Biden is assuring us he's actually going to have a party today. Did you know about this?
I did. Is he still in Boston, or is he back at work in D.C.?
He's back at work at D.C. It's going to be on the southern lawn. He's going to be on the south lawn. He's going to be having thousands of supporters. And they put thousands in quotes. I don't know why. That part threw me off. Thousands. And they're going to be there to celebrate the Inflation Reduction Act. What a perfect day to do it. The timing of this administration sometimes is underrated. People don't make note of how comedically brilliant these people are. That the day the inflation report comes out and it's at 8.3%, he's hosting a shindig at the White House celebrating the Inflation Reduction Act. The irony is completely, completely lost on these people.
Hey, come on. The Inflation Reduction Act reduced inflation from 0% in July to 8.3% in August. Come on. It's working.
I think technically the way they would frame this is that, okay, so I'm trying to get into the mind.
Moody said it was going to be 8.5. It's 8.3. Dummies, I'm awesome.
No, it's more complicated than that, because they said it was 0% because it basically stayed the same, right? Month over month. So it was still 8 point something, but it stayed the same. So now the decline is 0.1%. So maybe they'll say it's gone from 0% inflation to 0.1% inflation, which is a lot better than 8.3% inflation. I don't know what kind of fuzzy math we're going to get, but I can assure you that the spin doctors will be going crazy today. Karine Jean-Pierre will be saying the words very clear over and over and over and over and over again, so that we can all understand how great this is. So Joe Biden's going to have this big party today where he's going to yell at us and brag about what a great job he's doing. And I'm trying to think of some of the key things we're going to hear about. We'll hear about the price of gas. We won't hear about the price of milk, eggs, baby food, airline fares, real average hourly earnings. Actually, we might hear about those because those went down. So that's a negative number. maybe we will. Meat, poultry, and fish, groceries, electricity, fuel and oil, gas, overall CPI. Everything's up. Everything's up. And it's just the spin they're going to have to put on this to tell us what a good job he's doing. I almost can't take it anymore. And on a side note here, I don't know if people saw this, the Amtrak, this is more bad news for Joe. He's not going to be aware of any of this.
Joey, baby!
By the way, he already put out a statement today basically saying, you know, things are, you know, there's more work to be done. Whenever they say there's more work to be done, that means things suck and I'm responsible. When they say there's more work to be done, there's more work to be done also means I'm gearing up to do even more damage than I've already done. Because as Charles Payne was pointing out today on Fox, the pandemic was out of our control to a degree. The way we overreacted in regards to shutting down schools and stuff, that was our fault. But now what's happening with this economy, when you look at the ridiculous spending, that is self-inflicted. That is something that did not need to happen. And so Joe Biden, or whoever is in charge of writing up these statements, I'm always between the Easter Bunny and Ron Klain, but I give it to Ron Klain only because the bunny lacks the use of the thumbs, the opposable thumbs. So maybe Ron Klain typed this up on his typewriter, sent it to the Washington Post, Jennifer Rubin, tweeted it to his friends. So the statement goes out where Joe Biden says there's more work to be done, to which we all shudder because we think things tend to go the best when you go on vacation. So if you are grabbing that leather briefcase and sitting down and getting ready for a day's work of worth of work, then we're in trouble. We're about to get 9.5.
Oh, boy.
And it gets even worse for Joe, because then I read this headline that the Amtrak suspends some long-haul routes ahead of a potential rail strike. So now the Amtrak, the workers of the Amtrak, could potentially be going on strike.
It's dangerous. Joe's a union guy and an Amtrak guy.
Joey Baby is not going to be happy about this. It begs the question, will this will this make Joe talk about the Amtrak and his time on the Amtrak, his, what was it, 400 million thousand bazillion miles that he rode on the Amtrak? Will he talk about that more or less if the Amtrak workers go on strike? I put my money on more.
I hardly remember those days.
I think if his handlers talk to him and say, hey, don't talk about the Amtrak. They're about to go on strike. We want to stay out of it. Don't mention the Amtrak. He's Michael Scott. He goes out there and it's the first thing on his mind. He has to talk about it. Everything is coming up roses for Joe Biden. Beyond that, we have other news. We have news about John Fetterman, because throughout all of this, we keep hearing how the red wave is dissipating. But the poll numbers, a new Harvard-Harris poll begs to differ. The poll numbers for some of these Democrats who are running in these Senate races begs to differ. Specifically, I think of John Fetterman. John Fetterman now, the Washington Post has come out and asked John Fetterman to release his medical records. The Washington Post. When you've lost the Washington Post, things are not looking good.
My name is John Fetterwoman.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I forget to call him the correct name? What about John Birthing Fetter Birthing Person? How does that work? John Fetter
Birthing People.
X. Yeah, so you have John Fetterman. He's having issues. You have Katie Hobbs refusing to debate Carrie Lake. And then you have Senator Mark Kelly from Arizona, who's dodging questions about Joe Biden and whether or not, you know, he thinks he should run again. This is a common theme. So I don't care what the pollsters tell me. I don't care what narrative the left runs with about how, you know, ooh, Democrats, it's a dead even tie. I don't buy any of that. I think everyone should still be motivated, still go out and vote. But don't let this depress you at all, because none of this is adding up. So Joe Biden's approval rating is back in the tank. John Fetterman's getting called out by the Washington Post. Carrie Lake has no one to debate, but she's still going to get 30 minutes of basically a solo interview. And you're trying to tell me the Democrats are the ones who are flying this plane? The Democrats are the ones who are, you know, in the driver's seat? I don't think so. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back with your calls. We got a lot to talk about. The Democrat surveillance state is here. 87,000 new armed, that's right, armed non-law enforcement IRS agents. On why does America need that? The liar said no new taxes on individuals making under $400,000. So we paid attention to the $400,000 and they slipped this in under our noses. They'll soon control all aspects of your life with armed agents rummaging through every dime you've ever spent. Friends, this is no joke. This is for real. Come on, man. No malarkey. You traded thousands of hours of time building your nest egg, but now you have to protect it. You need this now. You got to get Monetary Gold's new guide. It's called 5 Money Mistakes That Could Crush Your Retirement in the Next 6 Months. Call Monetary Gold now. There's no time to delay. It's 888-617-7994. Get 5 Money Mistakes That Could Crush Your Retirement in the Next 6 Months. 888-617-7994. Time is of the essence. We will take your calls on inflation. What do you make of this number? Did this number take you by surprise? Did you wake up today and see this headline and say, wow, I'm shocked by this? Or have you come to expect this kind of disappointment? I think with Joe Biden, what I did from the very beginning was I took the advice of the Washington Post. When the Washington Post opinion columnist, whoever it was, told me to lower my expectations, you know what I did? I lowered my expectations. And when you lower your expectations to such a degree, it's hard to be disappointed. Joe Biden can no longer disappoint me. I've taken away that power from him. I expect things to be a Charlie Foxtrot, and they always are. So I'm always prepared. 844-500-4242. Call in, weigh in on the CPI, 8.3% inflation. What do you make of it? This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Welcome back. You know who we need a wellness check on? anyone who is appearing at the celebration for the Inflation Reduction Act today. It will be on the South Lawn. And if you are there, and if you are not a paid political operative, if you are there of your own free will, I'm not if you have a union shirt on, not if, you know, your company encouraged you to go. If you are just a regular person looking for your three squares a day, looking at the ceiling fan like Jared and myself, if you are just a regular person, Joe Sixpack, and you stumble onto that South Lawn for an Inflation Reduction Act party today, when we find out that inflation is at 8.3% and the Dow dropped 800 points following the inflation report. If you are there for this celebration to cheer on Amtrak Joe, then I need to know. I need to know what's going on with you. I have questions. I have concerns. But good luck. I mean, I'm wondering what the spread is going to be like. They have to give out food at this, right? So maybe they'll have bowls of beans or slices of cheese or maybe some plates of pork chops. Maybe this will be like a July 4th BBQ. It's an inflation. What they have to do is, you know what? And I'll help them out here because I don't know if people know this, Jared, but I'm a giver, you know, and I'm an idea girl. I don't like to just pose problems. I like to offer solutions. And I'm going to look up some foods that have actually decreased in price during this inflation heat wave. And those are the foods that they can put out on the White House lawn. And then they can put up a little bit of, you know, a Pravda type of graphic and they can tweet that out. Do you think that's a good idea?
That seems right on target with what they're talking about today.
Yeah. So we've got.
It's one great big package.
I mean, ice cream's definitely pricey right now. And I know that would be Joe's first choice. He might have to sacrifice that. But
I want a double dipped waffle cone with chocolate, vanilla chocolate chip.
I'm definitely thinking that the beans could be good. Maybe we'll just, instead of ice cream, we'll just have cones and then we'll just put the beans in there. And the spending, the denial, the incompetence is all part of what we are seeing now. But like I mentioned, there's no slowing down these Democrats. They see inflation. It really is like that old SNL sketch about more cowbell. They want more spending. Every time you come to them with a problem and you say, things are looking pretty rough here with inflation. More! We need more! And for a while, I think it was last week and the week before, we started seeing these stories about how Joe's poll numbers are actually improving. And how he had this little bump in the polls. They were trying to figure out what to attribute it to. And a lot of conservative commentators were saying, well, he has been on vacation a lot lately. Out of sight, out of mind. Distance makes the heart grow fonder. And with Joe Biden, its distance gives him less of an opportunity to mess things up, maybe. I don't know. But that bump has seemed to go away because there's a Harvard-Harris poll. I saw Maria Bartiromo talking about this today. And it shows that Joe Biden's approval rating remains underwater at 41%. And inflation is still the biggest concern for voters. Over half of whom say the Inflation Reduction Act is more likely to increase rather than decrease inflation. Keep in mind, these are the same people who Joe Biden once told us, if you saw them at a restaurant, they wouldn't be able to explain the supply chain crisis. So they probably aren't the best people to go to and say, do you think this is going to increase inflation? It's beyond, you know, you could ask me that, but guess what? It's beyond my capabilities. I lack the enzyme to appreciate the brilliance that is Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. And as we talk about this throughout the day, I would like to hear what you're noticing as far as inflation goes. We haven't really talked about this with callers in a long time, but it is still here. On a separate note, when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about what's happening at the New York Times, because it would take a heart of stone not to laugh. Amtrak is not the only place that's having trouble, has some disgruntled employees right now. The New York Times is also dealing with this. And what they offered up to their employees as kind of an olive branch, a way to lure them back into the office full time, which no one likes that right now, especially not the keyboard warriors. But their method of trying to entice people to come back to the office was one of the weakest attempts from big business I've seen in a long time. It was an empty lunchbox. You know how sometimes companies are like, oh, we're going to give you free lunch on Wednesdays, or, oh, you know, we got a pool, we got a ping pong table. We got a keg in the office, an empty lunchbox, and ready to add insult to injury. No handles. on the lunchbox. So basically just an empty box. And the New York Times writers...
You son of a bitch, I'm in.
The New York Times writers are not in. 844-500-4242. We're going to play a lot of sound and we're going to take all of your calls when we come back. It's Tuesday and it's the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
8.3% is the year-over-year number, 8.3%. If you strip out the core, it is 6.3%. Again, coming in hotter than expected and hotter than a lot of economists and a lot of people on this panel thought it was going to come in, to be clear here. Again, the expectation, 8.1%, 8.3% was the headline number. 0.1% is the month-to-month number. We were looking for that to fall, to be clear, everybody, to fall. It came in at 0.1%, and then the core coming in at 0.6%. All of these are hotter than expected, everybody.
And you know what it means? All of this means that it's time to throw a party!
Hot! Too hot!
It's so much hotter than expected. You think at a certain point you would just start to expect what's been happening?
Maybe expect some cool. I don't know.
You know, it's been happening for so many months now, and every month they're like, ooh, we didn't see this one coming. I'm not saying that these people on the panels of these shows are all Nobel laureates, but even those guys seem to get it wrong, those guys and gals. And I want to play a little bit more of this before we go into the John Fetterman story of the day. I'd like to play Rick Santilli from CNBC. He's talking about inflation and how this, like I said before, like Charles Payne said today on Fox Business, this is self-inflicted. There were the economy was in kind of a self-induced coma, an artificial coma, and all we had to do was kind of take our foot off of the brake and let it roar back to life, and we didn't do that. We pumped money into an already inflated economy. And we've been told everything since then. We've been told that inflation's not here. We've been told that it's transitory. We have been told that it's global, so it doesn't matter. We shouldn't care as much because it's worse in other places. That was one of my favorite spins, which Martha McCallum, I think it was Jean Sperling, but I could be wrong on that. She squashed that pretty quick. She basically said, well, we expected a different level here than in some other places. And Jean Sperling, oh, yeah, well, of course. But that was an excuse, too. So first it's not here, then it's transitory, and then, oh, you shouldn't worry about it because it's worse in other places. You could have it worse if you live somewhere else. And now we're back to, then it went back to, oh, it's 0%. And now we are back to, well, it's hotter than expected. But, you know, there's nothing we could have done. Before I play Rick Santilli, I'd like to play a little bit of Dick Durbin, actually, because this is the craziest part to me. Is that you can scream something as loud as you possibly can, if you're Larry Summers, if you're anyone who's been semi-right about any of this, and they won't listen to you. They'll say, you're wrong. And the second you get proven right, they say, well, we can't Monday morning quarterback, you know? Hindsight is 20/20. Let's have Dick Durbin, fool Dick Durbin, cut 10.
But there's a lot of people, and not just Republicans, that say we've just spent too much money. We did it during the pandemic, issued a lot of debt, a lot of dollars, the Fed did, a lot of programs. And then just this year, CHIPS Act, Inflation Reduction Act, student loan forgiveness, which I know you were in favor of. Any second thoughts whatsoever about maybe that's adding to the problems? And you know, here we are, the Fed's got to basically orchestrate a recession, which hurts everybody, just sort of to deal with all the overspending we've done. Do you, any truth to that in your view?
Let me just say this. There are a lot of people right now, Monday morning quarterbacking, maybe it's Tuesday morning in this context, but they're basically, shouldn't try to rewrite history.
What does that even mean? So we can't talk about what just happened? We can't talk about the boneheaded decisions you guys just made because, what, it's in the past? Didn't we have something like this just last week where who was it who said, was it Joe Biden who did a similar thing? Oh, I'm blanking on it now, but he said something like, oh, it's already happened. I'm going to find it. I'm going to find it during the break. But this idea that's in the past. Well, hold on. hold on. You guys still want to keep doing it, though. You want to keep spending. And so whenever they do something, they just say, well, you know, hindsight's 2020. You can't Monday morning quarterback. No, I think we can. Considering everything Trump did, whether it was right or whether it was wrong, and in the words of Donald Trump, I'm right a lot. They Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, Friday morning, Saturday morning, twice on Sunday morning, quarterback that dude. And now Joe Biden makes mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake, and we're all just supposed to wake up and move on.
And by
the way, moveon.org.
And by the way, Dick, printing money to cause inflation isn't actually Monday morning quarterbacking. That's Sunday afternoon quarterbacking when people were saying this. Actually, you know what? This is probably closer to game film on Thursday of game week.
Yeah, everyone
quarterbacking
was exactly
before this happened.
No, Jared, you just hit the nail on the head because it drives me crazy. They act like, well, how could we have known? It's easy to say it now. It's easy to Monday morning quarterback now when we had no idea. But you did. But so many people told you this was going to happen. This is like one of the most obvious things. I am not a Nobel laureate economist. In case you didn't know, I hope I'm not shocking anyone by telling you that. Grace Curley is a lot of things, but she is not a money expert. She is not a financial whiz. And I know that spending trillions of dollars when the economy is inflated is a dumb idea. Peggy, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Peggy.
Hi, Grace. Great show. I watch the business channels, and I, you know, do my fair share of reading. And they get all excited for new numbers coming out. Oh, the big numbers next week. This number's going to be that week, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter. If they're lousy numbers or they come in hotter than the administration expected, they spin it. If they come in, like, fairly normal, like unchanged, it's a big, big success. The third thing is, my third point is, the part that irritates me is that not a lot of people seem to care. And that leads me to believe that the only people that really care are people that work. You know, people that have to support themselves. Everybody else who's on the dole or in a union or works for a university, they don't care. It's just the gravy train continues.
Yeah, and I do want to point out something, though, Peggy, and that's a great call, and you had a lot of great points, but I just want to draw your attention to this story. You kind of gave me a nice segue there about the New York Times, because the New York Times expects employees to start returning to the office 3 days a week starting this week. That's more than 1,300 journalists, using that term loosely, but we'll give it to them in this context. Now, they're having a problem with the News Guild Journalists Union versus the upper management over wages. And they don't want to come back to work. Now, here's where, to me, it gets interesting. Because the negotiating committee offered a 4% pay hike in its last bargaining session on August 24th. The first concrete pay proposal advanced by the company in the talks. They discussed wages for about 2 hours. It was very contentious, said one source. But the last wage hike went into effect in March 2020. The company negotiators are not slow walking. They are no walking the wage negotiations. In addition to an 8% raise, the News Guild has been demanding a cost of living increase of 5.25%. Now, here's why I bring this up, okay? Because they want all these raises. They want the cost of living adjustment. They're not happy with the 4%. And I would just, and this is actually another quote here, with no salary increase, it amounts to a de facto pay cut, the 4% hike that the company proposed would be reduced for members who received merit-based increases over the past 2 years. My question is, according to these journalists who are very upset, and you know, I don't say this with a lack of compassion, you know, you're trying to make your money and you're trying to deal with the cost of living. But how about we do some reporting on this? Because clearly it's affecting the people there. Clearly things are too expensive. Clearly a 4% pay hike is not going to do the job because of inflation. And all these journalists, all of these left-wing hacks tell me day in and day out is that everything's wonderful, that Joe Biden's doing a great job. They have real-world experience now that is not the case. And so they should care. They should report on it. They should ask questions. They should demand a press conference with Joe Biden. And it's just the hypocrisy here of people whining about their their lack of pay raise, and then at the same time refusing to really grill this administration on all of these colossal mistakes and ineptitude is not lost on me. And I don't think it's lost on Peggy. I don't think it's lost on anybody in this audience. 844-500-4242. Let's take a little bit of Rick Santelli on CNBC. This is cut 7. Take a listen.
And the panel, of course, is going to discuss this. The thing that really bothers me with regard to inflation is everybody here on this panel agreed months ago that one of the reasons inflation was high was all the government spending. And after we agreed on that, what did the government do? They spent more. Student loans, welfare in terms of the CHIPS Act. Seems like nothing is sinking in. These numbers aren't better than expected. And maybe they should be. And maybe ultimately they're going to start to go back up again because we continue to go back to that well of debt and spending.
Oh, Rick, you sound like someone who's trying to Monday morning quarterback the president.
He also forgot about all the money we're printing to send to Ukraine, too.
Well, that's a bipartisan effort, Jared. You know that.
Of course.
Just one other thing I wanted to add in here before we go to break. Totally different topic. Did you catch what happened last night? This is rhetorical because I know you didn't watch
regards
it.
Regards to
Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, no, of course not.
Jared, you didn't watch the Emmys last night?
I had no idea the Emmys even were last night.
I don't know. I don't know about that. I don't know if I believe you. I think you secretly watched all of it.
Although, to be fair, I'm pretty much in bed by 7 now.
Well, Jimmy Kimmel. Okay, so listen to what happened. There's a big controversy a-brewing. Jimmy Kimmel was doing some sort of gag. Like, the jokes that they do at these award shows are the most painfully unfunny things I've ever watched. They really should just have a host who comes out, just keeps the show moving, and doesn't even attempt to be funny. Because the only one who was ever funny was Ricky Gervais, and I know that he's been run out of town. But everyone else should just come out and keep it moving, keep it under 2 hours. I'm not saying I would watch if they did that, but it would just be less uncomfortable for the people in the audience. I'm looking out for the movie stars, for the TV stars. So this woman wins an award. Her name is Quinta Brunson, and she wins an award. And this is right after Jimmy Kimmel's gag, stunt, gig, whatever you want to call it, his sketch. And in the sketch, another actor, Will Arnett, is pulling him around on stage by his feet like he's a dead body. I didn't look into what the actual joke underneath it is, the context, as Jen Psaki would say. I don't really care. But when this woman, this young woman, wins this award for, I think she was a writer. She was a creator of the show, and she was a writer on the show. When she won this award, she got up to get her award and give her speech. Kimmel stayed lying down in front of the microphone for the entirety of her speech. Did not get up. So in all of these photos of this young black woman winning this award, and she was very gracious afterwards, she did not bash Jimmy Kimmel like he probably deserved. But in all of these photos now of this woman's historical moment for her, like for just in general, but especially for her, it was a big moment. Jimmy Kimmel, the buffoon, is laying down on the stage, and Twitter went wild. People, I'm just going to read you a couple. Okay, here's some responses to Jimmy Kimmel's funny joke. So Jimmy Kimmel is really going to upstage her speech by laying on the floor in front of her. Like, what the bleep? If Quinta Brunson stepping over Jimmy Kimmel, who literally laid in her spotlight on the day she won an Emmy, isn't a metaphor for what it means to be a WOC in a white man's world, I don't know what is. Jimmy Kimmel owes Quinta an apology, but the messed up part is every image of her accepting her award has his bleep in it. White men are really insufferable. Now, I don't think this is a question of white men being insufferable.
Racism, racism.
If I were a white man, and Jared, maybe you can help me out with this, I would feel as though I might say, can you guys leave me out of this narrative? Like, Jimmy Kimmel being insufferable does not have to do with white men in general. He is an insufferable person. Yes. He is not funny. He is obnoxious. He is Trump deranged. He is the least talented person who gets on TV every night and makes millions of dollars. And he's really, really mean, too. And I know maybe you could say, well, Grace, you're being mean right now. I don't think I am. I think I'm being honest. But he's been vicious and cruel to other people. And now people are starting to figure out, wow, he's kind of a jerk. That's a jerk move to lay on the stage when someone else is getting an award to make it all about yourself.
Being a jerk face knows no color.
Thank you, Jared. You just summed that up beautifully. That's poetic. Are you an Irish poet? because that was just something else. I really, though, I couldn't believe it. I mean, I could believe it because he's done stuff like this before. But even for him, it's like, read the room, dude. Get up. You just lay there.
Also,
the joke wasn't funny to begin with.
That's the biggest crime. It's not funny.
Yeah. People will deal with a lot of things if it's funny. Things that are funny, people will give you a pass for. But if you're just being obnoxious and you're not funny, double whammy. We all knew it was coming, and it finally has. The real estate frenzy has really slowed down due to inflation, interest rates, and the overall economy. For sale signs are sitting in the ground longer. I was just talking with a mailroom manager about this. You know, if you're someone who checks on the real estate market a lot, it's amazing how much it's dipped. It's amazing how much longer things are staying. Things are hanging around. So if you plan to divest your most valuable asset, your real estate, then you should act now while demand is still hanging in there. You might want to hold off on selling because you're thinking, oh, I could rent my property. It might be a nice short-term solution. But not if you sell in a year or two for a lot less money. So don't hesitate. Sell today at auction under your terms. Here's how it works. In a JJ Manning auction, your property sells as quickly as possible through a marketing plan and recipe which has stood the test of time for over 45 years and in every type of economy. What they do is they have a competitive environment with cash buyers who are ready to close with no contingencies. To learn more on how to get your residential, commercial, or land property sold quickly, you can contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com. That is 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. She's a master at pouncing, weaponizing, and seizing.
To give you a reference point, I'm somewhere between a snake and a mongoose. And a panther.
She's Grace Curley.
For anyone on the lines who wants to discuss the FBI turning up on the doorstep of a Trump supporter who was not at the Capitol on January 6th, or the fact that the DOJ is subpoenaing over 40 Trump associates, stay on the line because that's what we're really going to dive into in the 1 o'clock hour. I have not forgotten about that. But first, global unrest is battering the food supply chain and the energy markets, and it's incumbent on you to be prepared. So get ready with ReadyWise. Go to ReadyWise.com and use code Howie10 to get 10% off your next purchase. This poll question requires a little bit of storytelling behind it. Now, I saw this in the New York Post today. Albany Democrats have introduced legislation to allow some foot-weary working New Yorkers to sit on the job, despite the risk of creating a future Seinfeld security situation featuring a comfy store guard napping on the job. If you've never seen this episode of Seinfeld, George sees a security guard at a clothing store and says, "Wouldn't you prefer a chair? Wouldn't you like to sit down?" We have a couple cuts.
How come, no chair? What? I couldn't help but notice that you don't have a chair.
I don't need a chair.
No, I didn't mean to imply that you did. You're obviously a very well-proportioned individual. What I was just wondering is, have they ever offered you a chair?
No.
Would you like a chair?
I suppose if they gave me one, I'd sit down.
Uh-huh. You would, wouldn't you?
Obviously, I'd rather sit than stand, if that's what you're asking.
That's exactly my point.
Well, who wouldn't?
Okay, so now, the end of the episode, the security guard gets his chair and falls asleep, and people rob the store, and he's snoozing. In this case, supermarket cashiers, bodega clerks, or as Joe Biden might say, Bogota clerks, and those with jobs requiring lots of screen time are people who might be able to get seats where jobs like prowling security guards might have to stay on their feet. That brings us to our question. And they're calling this, I think, the SIT Act.
Yes.
Standing is Tiring Act. So, Jared, what is the poll question?
Do you support New York's SIT Act? Is standing tiring?
All right. So I have some personal experience with this topic. I was a hostess at one point, only for a summer, but when I say did a number on my feet, I'm talking, it was brutal. And there was no reason I had to be standing up. There was no reason I couldn't have had a chair. So yeah, I'm going to go with the Dems on this and say, yes, I support the SIT Act. If you're a cashier and you can sit, I think you should be able to.
Just 13% say yes. 87% say nope.
I'm going.
Stand up, lazy bones.
I'm going to be hammering this for the next 3 hours, and that poll result will change. Stay on the line. We're talking FBI raids and so much more. We're just getting started. It's Tuesday. This is the Grace Curley Show.